Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
We're allowed to do, per NFL rule, a little bit more from a offense versus defense standpoint. You know, and we're allowed to do some other things via NFL rules that we're not allowed to do this time of year.
Mike Danger.
The Vets come to town for organized team activities. What are you going to be paying attention to?
Gene Battaglia.
So Richie Incognito released from the reserve retired list. If Incognito were to unretire, then he's a free agent. He can go sign wherever he likes.
Cavs hosting the Celtics. Game four.
The clock to triple zeros. 111 to 102. Cleveland with the victory, and we head back to Boston, tied at two apiece.
If this goes seven games, I don't think the Cavs win a game seven in Boston. Okay. I don't think this supporting cast in Cleveland this year would show up for a game seven.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we have the Eastern Conference final, Tampa Bay with a chance to eliminate the Washington Capitals.
The far side, held in Beagle. Behind the net, Stevenson. Centers it! Shot score, Smith-Pelly! And the Caps are able to make the steal, and Smith-Pelly makes it 2-0.
Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, happy that you're joining us. However you may be listening, AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPNRochester.com, our home online, or the free-to-download radio.com app where you can take ESPN with you everywhere and listen anywhere, anytime. Alongside Gene Battaglia, I am merely Mike Danger.
Was that the deepest conversation we've had in the Sports Bar with HBO's John Frankel right now?
It's up there.
Yeah.
It's up there. I'm looking back in my memories of the early days of the Sports Bar. I know we had, was it Tisha Thompson?
Yes, the U of R story.
The U of R story was pretty grim. The drug deal gone bad, mistaken identity, torture. Just a terrible, terrible story that you hate to have associated with our community. That conversation was pretty deep. Our conversation that we had earlier this year, back in March, with Pat Coletta, it wasn't a deep conversation, but it got deep because just out of sheer concern for Pat in his post-hockey playing days. How you holding up? What's going on? And that kind of tied into our conversation just now with John Frankel of Real Sports on HBO, who tonight, during his segment on a new episode at 10 o'clock, dives deeper into the NFL's CTE settlement with former players and how that money is being distributed and how a lot of players who are suffering symptoms of CTE, a disease that won't be diagnosed until you're dead, These players, these former players with symptoms, are not able to get access to that settlement. It's a little alarming.
I mean, what's alarming? Okay, everyone, name players you know that passed and were diagnosed with CTE post-concussion. If you saw the movie, you would know the name Mike Webster, right? Are you kidding me? We just learned Mike Webster because the years they bracketed this as part of the negotiation. Mike Webster's family got nothing. Yeah, good luck going to sleep tonight. Honestly, if you're part of that, and that, it's so disturbing.
All right, I'll drink to that here before Sal Capaccio joins us to talk some Buffalo Bills OTAs in just a few here in the Sports Bar.
Hey, baby!
Provocative thoughts from around the world of sports.
We're gonna be here all day!
Agree or shake your head in disbelief.
We're gonna be here all day, baby!
Raise a glass. It's time for I'll Drink to That in the Sports Bar.
I like that kind of party, baby.
With Danger and Battaglia in the Sports Bar.
Look, we'll get to sports in a second, but the reason this came up, just so everybody knows, today we learned in this HBO piece that you're going to see tonight, the former Syracuse Orange player Chris Gedney took his own life. Now, on the outside, Gedney doesn't fit the profile, right? Ex-jock, loving family, good-looking, color commentator on the radio for the Orange, ambassador for Syracuse working in the development offense. Look, point is there's no profile when it comes to mental health. For some reason, there's a stigma when it comes to mental health in our country. In Canada, they do something. It's called the Bell Let's Talk Initiative. Maybe that's where we can start here, just by talking and just by listening.
Yeah, sure. Exactly where it starts. And where we are now is a far cry from where we were even 5 years ago. It's getting better. But yeah, the stigma needs to go away. People do need to be free to talk about what it is that's bothering them. And we, as friends, as supporters, as people in a community that cares, we need to listen.
I'll drink to that.
Arizona and New Orleans are each going to host another Super Bowl in 2023 and 2024, respectively. Snooze. Gene, let me know when Vegas gets a crack at hosting. Because once that happens, you're going to want the Super Bowl there once every 3 years.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to put it in rotation. Maybe not every three, but I could guarantee every five. By the way, New Orleans snooze. I've never been to New Orleans. I want to go to New Orleans.
I'm just saying, New Orleans, how many Super Bowls? New Orleans has the record, right? They've hosted more Super Bowls than anybody?
Miami.
Okay.
Miami does, and New Orleans hasn't had it since 2013. That would have been
blackout.
Correct.
The blackout year. Yeah, okay, so they've made renovations to the stadium, and now you're to the Superdome, and you would imagine that they would be better equipped and not have to deal with that kind of headache again. In New Orleans, you're skating on thin ice. Vegas is right around the corner. Stand by.
I'll drink to that.
While we are on the topic of awarding Super Bowls, next decade the Buffalo Bills are going to want their new stadium, we would figure. They're laying the groundwork, and now let's put this out. Okay, if there's no roof, no, Buffalo's not going to be getting a Super Bowl. However, would it be a bit too much to ask, Danger, that if you're going to build the NFL stadium, if there's going to be public money involved, can you ask for in return the NFL draft? Our leaders, if you're going to, fork over state dollars, they need to ask something nice in return.
Yeah, I would hope that our elected officials, being that the NFL is calling on them to regulate legalized sports gambling, that our elected officials are taking that phone call and working out some deals now for what could be, potentially down the road, a little bit of an assist in building a new stadium in Buffalo. I'm not holding my breath, but it would be nice.
I'll drink to that.
Let's go to alternate reality land, Gino, courtesy of our buddy Ryan Talbot of NewYorkUpstate.com, who shares a story at NewYorkUpstate.com on how Antonio Brown ignored a call from the Bills, ended up joining the Steelers instead. The story goes that the two teams called him simultaneously on separate phone lines that he had. Brown chose to answer the Steelers' call, was selected by the Steelers with the 195th pick of the sixth round. The Bills took Danny Batten, linebacker, South Dakota State at 192. If only they had called the Browns. If only they had called Brown sooner, Antonio Brown could be a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills right now.
Now, wait a second here. Back up. You mean to tell me that Antonio Brown, did he screen his calls? Is that what you're saying?
He had multiple lines, yeah.
Okay, and caller ID was in existence at this point. Wait a second, that's area code. What's 71? Yeah, let that go to voicemail. Yeah, no, I'm not here. No.
Yeah,
it's a new strategy.
Yeah, I met Doug Whaley. No, I know Doug Whaley. It's okay. No, it's all right. It's all right. We'll let that one go straight to voicemail.
I'll drink to that.
All right, a little something more uplifting, and I'm pandering you on this one, Danger, because I know you're going to agree with me, okay? When I lay the groundwork on this, I know everybody's going to agree with me. It used to be the 4th of July for me. Now it's coming sooner. What am I talking about? Well, we're all going to have a little bit more time this weekend, right? A little more time to start thinking about something that's going to be approaching. For me, the 4th of July was always the benchmark when the things would hit the newsstands and you would start to think about it. Think about your draft. No. Maybe it's Sunday night. Maybe it's Monday morning. When I'm not working on Monday morning, Danger, I am already salivating at the thought of doing homework for fantasy football.
Wow, Gino. Yeah, and you know what? This is why I would say you're an early front runner, an early contender for a championship in the Office League this year. It won't be long before we've got that championship trophy here, just over my shoulder, just taunting me and mocking me, because you're going to put in the extra hours. You're going to put in the extra time. You're going to start earlier than anybody else. Who am I kidding? You're still going to get beat by the female in the office that doesn't really follow football.
No.
Maybe has her boyfriend or husband do the draft for her. That's who's going to really win
the league. I've already got my new team name, Danger.
Good.
Yummy Grandma. Brett Musburger approved.
Yeah. You want your icon has to be, your avatar has to be Brett Musburger. It has to be.
When you're a quarterback at Alabama, you see that lovely lady there. She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also, Miss Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow. A.J.'s doing some things right down in Tuscaloosa.
So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
The best part of that is you're more interested in Dee Dee Bonner than you are in Catherine. Like, Brent giving the seal of approval on Dee Dee Bonner has you...
There's so many underrated things to that. That's right at the top of my list. But Dee Dee Bonner in the 50 and above category, Danger. Come on. You're not going to be curious at Fisher this summer.
You're going to name your team Yummy Grandma.
Just said that joke.
Yummy Grandma with an icon, with an avatar of Brett Musburger.
Well, or Dee Dee.
I think Musburger.
Musburger.
Musburger is more recognizable.
Yeah.
And plus, you post a picture of Dee Dee. I think the rest of the teams in the league might say, Gene really does have a problem. There's a little bit of a thing there with older women, with more mature women. Check Gene's history on a computer.
Matures only. Email's going to go out.
Maturesonly.com.
Employee of Intercom.
Yeah, you hear about those scandals all the time. Gene's going to maturesonly.com for fantasy draft strategy.
What's the our time, I think it is?
Oh,
like,
God.
What are they advertising? What? Oh, that's what this is all about.
Yeah, it's like Tinder for...
Yeah, it's Tinder for old people.
For retired people?
Yeah.
Good God, Gino. You're trolling ourtime.com. Just for material.
It's all in the name of the show, David.
Oh, good stuff. I'm not there yet. And maybe that makes me vulnerable to prey in fantasy football. It'll be 4th of July. 4th of July, I think, is when I'll really start.
No. You're going to have a little bit of extra time this week.
I don't know that I am.
Monday morning, you're going to wake up. Wait, by the way, we're not on the air Monday. We're going to carry baseball Monday, Memorial Day Monday. You're going to be like, wait, I have to prep for the... No, I don't. Alvin Kamara, where does he rank? It just takes a fleeting moment when you get your rancor in your head.
All right, maybe it'll cross my mind, but I'm not going to do any extensive homework. Not yet.
Reading. You're going to dip your toe in the pool.
Reading. Sounds like work right now for fantasy football.
Reading. I don't even know if a magazine is on the
stand. No. And by the way, I'm not reading the magazine. And if I'm being honest, full disclosure, I mean, I'm subscribed to one of the websites and I've been getting emails from them every day giving me updates on every team. So I kind of have a sense of what's going on with every team, not just from a fantasy relevant standpoint, but just every team. Like, who's signing who? Who's getting who where? And how's that offensive line looking? You want to know everything that's going on throughout the league. That never ends. That's a 365-day-a-year commitment. That's where I am. I don't know that I'll pick up a magazine. I don't know. I mean, last year, I remember I had a magazine. I think somebody sent it to us. One of the fantasy sites sent us their magazine. And I remember thinking to myself that it was fairly satisfying picking up the magazine, the tangible, published piece of work, and reading through it. But by the time you get it, a lot of that information... specific information to individual players is a little dated.
Oh, yeah. But they can crunch the numbers, and if you can look at historical data, that's always helpful, too, when it comes to some of these offenses. But no, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to this weekend. It's only Tuesday.
I'm looking forward to the weekend, too, as I'm sure many of you are as well. We appreciate you stopping by the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia here on ESPN Rochester. We believe that he is fresh off his appearance at the Mothership in Buffalo at WGR. Sal Capaccio, Buffalo Bills radio sideline reporter. What should we expect out of OTAs? What battles are we paying attention to? What does the Richie Incognito release mean for the Buffalo Bills and their cap situation now? And somebody brought up the compensatory formula. I don't think it has anything to do with compensatory, but we'll get all that clarity from the guy who knows it better than anybody. Sal Capaccio joins us next. The Buffalo Bills radio sideline reporter joining us next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
You're a hardworking listener of the sports leader. You deserve a signing bonus. ESPN Rochester is giving you 12 chances each weekday to win a $1,000 signing bonus. Listen each weekday starting at 7. At the top of each hour, we'll announce a code word. When you hear it, text the code word nationwide to 728. 881, the $1,000 signing bonus. Weekdays on the Sports Leader. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. ESPN Rochester. Streaming online at ESPNRochester.com. Breaking news, scores, and on-demand audio. Bookmark the Sports Leader. ESPNRochester.com.
Always appreciate the time that Sal Capaccio gives us from our sister station, WGR in Buffalo. You can hear him during the season on the sideline for Buffalo Bills Radio. Sal joining us now in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Sal, how you been?
Pretty good, guys. Just flew back from Florida today, actually.
Really? Go ahead, Sal. A little time off there with the fam?
No, not at all. Every year. I used to live down there, as you know, and every year I go back for a weekend and play in I call it a tournament, a golf tournament with a bunch of guys, 24 of us actually it's grown to. It's pretty cool. And we play basically 36 holes Saturday, 36 holes Sunday, another 18 on Monday. We rank everybody, we play off. It's pretty cool, actually. It's a good time, and it's great going to see everybody. It gives me a little time to kind of decompress and get away for a little while.
These are your friends that you grew up with, friends that you met in Florida, colleagues, coworkers. Who are we talking about, Sal?
Friends I knew in Florida. Friends, I grew up here. So I moved down there when I was in my 20s. Friends that several of them I coached with. I coached their kids in Little League. Their kids are now born, are grown and have their own kids. Or in high school football or in high school baseball. I coached a lot of them with them. And then on top of that, just people I worked with, people I met. And then there's always new people that I've never met who come into the group, for the first time. We had a friend years ago, back in 2011, the year I moved back to Buffalo, actually, a friend of ours who we were playing with. This thing's like 18 years going now, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a friend who actually was unfortunately killed in a motorcycle accident. He was from Buffalo originally. He was a big Bills fan. And now we kind of do some things. His family comes in, and we planted a tree at one of the courses. It's grown now. We take pictures. We do some things for the family and his kids and grandkids. It's pretty cool. So it's a good weekend all around. It's for the right reasons.
Sal, it sounds like an awesome time, and it also sounds like the calm before the storm. I mean, really, now with OTA starting, when does it stop for you? I mean, you get a break here and there, 4th of July, but next thing you know, training camp is going to be here, and we're starting OTAs today. I know we get access on Thursday. What are we looking forward to with this round of OTAs?
Yeah, so the way it works is they get 10 days of OTAs. They started today. They have 9 left. They'll do 3 this week, 3 next week. That's 6, and then they'll do 4 the following week with Wednesday off, so 7, 8, 9, 10, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I think it's actually they get 1 week off, and they go back for those 4. Then there's a mandatory mini camp that everybody has to be at. These are all voluntary. That does not count amongst the 10. That's extra that they do. Now, once they're done with that, and that will end on June 10th, I believe. Once we're done with that, they're done. Dead period, nothing until training camp at the end of July. So you get about 6 weeks where there's this dead period. So between now and, the end of June, they're going to be out there for 13, 14 times maybe total with the mandatory minicamp counted. And, their regular practice is pretty much except for the contact. You're allowed 11-on-11, 9-on-7, 7-on-7, everything that you'd normally see at a regular training camp practice other than the actual, equipment wearing and contact.
Sal, there's nobody that, first of all, they're voluntary. You said that, it's not really a story if anybody doesn't show up, but we hear stories out of New England where, hey, Tom Brady's not going to these OTAs, neither is Rob Gronkowski. We don't have any story like that in Buffalo, right, where any player is not showing up, again, for these voluntary workouts?
Well, we don't know because we're not out there yet. So we don't, they're not going to tell us, you know, that's they don't just send a list and say, hey, these guys aren't here. I mean, it's voluntary. So, you know, they're not going to do that. It's up to us to go out there and kind of, you know, figure it out. The only thing we've seen so far is the rookie mini camp. You know, we did see the conditioning. And look, I mean, at those phase one conditioning things, conditioning and stretching and lifting, there's several guys that aren't there. Some are recovering from injuries, off-season stuff they have going on. So it's really hard. And then while we were out there for those days, actually a couple of different times, it was like the defense was out in the field while the offense was in film room at meeting. So we can't really see that. So we'll find more out on Thursday. We'll, you know, if you, people will follow along me and on Twitter, I'll have a, you know, list and say these are the guys I didn't spot at practice. But it's kind of the eye test. We don't know. They're not going to tell us who's there and who's not. We're going to have to figure it out.
Sal, besides all the strange online behavior and the threats and just bizarre antics of Richie Incognito, what led to the Bills' decision to release him finally yesterday?
You know, I think they basically just wanted to not have a distraction. And by a distraction, I mean something they have to deal with, answer questions about on a daily basis that they just don't need to and don't want to. You know, I mean, they've said many times in many different ways, we want guys who want to be here. And if Richie Incognito isn't what doesn't want to be here, and the fact is, I don't think they could get an asset for him. I mean, he's like going to be 34 this year, 33, 34, he's making $3 million a year. He comes with him the baggage that he had, even though it was years ago, still attached to him. I doubt anybody was going to give him anything for him. So then you say, you know what? He doesn't want to be here. Do we really want to wake up every morning and deal with a tweet that we have to answer questions about or have to answer a question in a press conference for a guy who's not even here? Or have our players have to talk about them when they're trying to focus on the guys who are here in that locker room in football? And I just think they didn't want that. So they said, okay, just you go do what you got to do, and we're going to move on.
Do you think there's a market for Richie Incognito right now, assuming, you know, he unretires and hits free agency?
I do. Yeah, I mean, look, as long as he checks out medically from all the things he said, because, you know, you got to think about that if you're a team. Well, my doctor said my liver's shutting down, all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, as long as he checks out medically, you know, he's going to be fine. And the teams will want him. He's a good football player. He made the Pro Bowl. Like, he wasn't a replacement. He made it last 2 years. And then you have to think about, though, what teams are willing to bring in the guy who they will have to talk about and deal with those questions from his past and the bullying incident. Because those are still with him, even though there's 3 years removed. It's easier to sign him now, but those still come with him.
If he checks out medically, Sal, I mean, essentially you're admitting, yeah, we're going to employ a liar on our roster who was saying that he had all of these issues when right now he checks out medically. Now, maybe he had those issues earlier this offseason, but I look at a team like, I don't know, Seattle as an example, where their offensive line couldn't have been much worse than they were last year, and you got a head coach in Pete Carroll who's savvy enough to deal with those kind of off-field distractions. I mean, to me, that seems like if there was a potential landing spot for Richie Incognito, a team that could use his services is there in the Great Northwest.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, they have to protect him. You know, I was listening to Cliff Averill today. He's doing a radio show now in Seattle, but he wasn't on the radio today. I was listening to him I was on my plane and I was watching, just trying to catch up on some of the NFL news because I was golfing, so I missed some stuff. So I was trying to catch up. And I saw him, he was on NFL Network, and he made a great point. He just came from that team, which made it more salient to me, you know, which is, you know, they went out and they had this draft and they still need to protect Russell Wilson. And if they don't protect Russell Wilson, he's going to have a shorter career. And he's not breaking news there, but for a guy on the team who was just there to say that really kind of stuck with me and said, wow, like even guys know who are there, how many issues they have. But look, I mean, you know, Richie's probably going to be, he's probably going to go where the money is. And, you know, that's what guys do, especially at this age, this stage of their career. I know, I'm sure he wants to win, but if someone's willing to offer him $3 million versus somebody offering him $1.5 million, they'll probably go where the $3 million is.
Sal Capaccio, WGR guest here, as we are talking some Buffalo Bills football. OTA is beginning. The first day, though, is open to the media is Thursday, so we'll learn more there. Sal, roughly 2 months away from training camp at St. John Fisher College, and Danger and I were talking earlier about camp battles, and while we're talking about the offensive line, is it fair to say that Well, outside of Deion Dawkins, every other spot right now is up for grabs on this Bills offensive line. How would you assess the camp battles on the offensive line going, I guess, from right to left, starting with the right tackle? It sounds like you have Newhouse, a serious candidate, perhaps, to challenge Jordan Mills?
Yeah, it's very fair to say that. Four out of the five are definitely open. I think that, you know, we'll go right to left, what you just said. Marshall Newhouse comes in. He's started in this league. He's even started at left tackle. But his spot now will be right tackle. He's going to challenge Jordan Mills, and we'll see where that goes. Jordan Mills had an inconsistent year last year. He's been pretty inconsistent since he got here. At the right guard spot, I still think Vlad Dukas has the leg up. I mean, he's the guy that they chose last year because Juan Castillo had worked with him in the past and liked him, and he started pretty much every game last year, if I remember correctly, if not most of them. And I think that, you know, John Miller, as much as he was pretty good a couple of years ago, you know, did some nice things and started, is probably a roster bubble guy at this point with this new regime who didn't seem to give him much of a chance last year. But I will say, with the new offense and a new scheme, you never know how someone else fits in. So maybe John Miller gets that shot again. But I would think Vlad Dukas, and by the way, I think Vlad Dukas, to me, was one of the more improved Buffalo Bills from day one to the end of the year last year. I thought he played pretty well.
Absolutely.
Towards the end of the year. Yeah. And then Russell Bodine was, you know, signed to play center, but he said in his conference call to us that he was told he's going to compete with Ryan Groy for the starting center job. Now, I could totally envision a scenario that Russell Bodine gets the center job, whether he legit wins it or not, and they move Ryan Groy to left guard. And, you know, because they're just better that way, right? You're better with Bodine at center and Groy at guard than you are with Groy at center and Bodine on the bench and whoever, insert name here, at guard. I would think that. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised either way. But also, you know, they may really value Ryan Groy's versatility to play any of the interior spots and say, look, he's our next guy up. Whether it's center or guard, we're just going to make sure he's playing every week and he's available. So that would make that left guard spot up for grabs. And then you do have to think about Wyatt Teller if that's the case. The kid they just drafted out of Virginia Tech in the fifth round. And, you know, with Richie's release, it, you know, brings Wyatt Teller more into play. Now you know that Richie's not coming back, and maybe Wyatt Teller can earn a spot. It's very hard for an offensive lineman drafted in the middle rounds to start in the NFL. So I wouldn't count on it, but I think he's the kind of guy that he would make the roster, be active, and be a backup, a reserve guy. So we'll see where it goes. There's always the chance that someone gets cut from another team. This time of year is when it happens. You know, we just saw today, linebacker for the Eagles, Michael Kendricks, gets released. I mean, those are the kinds of things that happen this time of year. And if there's somebody out there, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills kick the tires on a lineman.
Sal, you mentioned Wyatt Teller. He was one of the guys that I was intrigued by as we head into camp through this OTA process. Somebody that, you know, I'm curious to see how he looks. We had the chance to talk to Harrison Phillips last week, and I think both Gene and I were just impressed by the character that this young man has. And it really, I think, speaks to a bigger thing that they're trying to do with the Bills, and that they're bringing in guys of that higher character, guys with a different kind of work ethic, a different kind of mentality, a different kind of background. Teller probably has it, I would imagine. You know, we talked to Phillips, he certainly has it. And I would imagine a guy like Austin Prohl probably has it, given his makeup, his DNA, his background. How much could he impact that slot receiver position? We have Jeremy Curley in there. How much of a threat can Austin Prohl be to Jeremy Curley in that slot?
Well, he'll get a chance. You know, I mean, I was impressed with him in the very limited rookie minicamp time we had. You know, he seemed to run good routes and catch the ball, but, you know, they weren't doing a lot. It was very vanilla type of stuff. But, you know, he got his opportunity, and, you know, that's all he can ask. So we'll see where that goes. I don't expect him. You know, as I sit here right now, if I did a 53-man roster projection, I would not include Austin Cole. Mm. I would put him on the practice squad. I think that kid has practice squad written all over him by the way he practices. But he would be like this year's Brandon Riley. You know, maybe you see some things in the preseason, you go, hey, that kid can play. And then, you know, Brandon Riley, people thought, oh my God, how can you not keep him? They wound up releasing him and putting him on the practice squad, but they felt, you know, you need a year of seasoning and, you know, to learn some finer nuances of playing the position. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case with a guy like Austin Prohl. So, but he'll get his chance. Jeremy Curley, I think, is an underrated signing for this team. I think he does improve the wide receiver core, but they still need something on the outside other than Kelvin Benjamin. And I don't know if that's going to come from Zay Jones. I don't know if that's going to come from Andre Holmes. I don't know if that's going to come from somebody who's not on the roster right now. If it's somebody who is, but we're not thinking of because they, you know, haven't really had a shot yet in the NFL. But I think they need more help on the outside because they don't have anybody who makes a defensive coordinator worry about them on the outside throughout the week.
What about a guy, Sal, that was impressive in camp last year? I'm not talking about Riley, but in Rod Streeter. In my opinion, I thought Streeter was on a path to make that 53, and then he has the injury. So how would you assess his chances when you look at this depth chart?
Totally agree with you. I was a big Rod Streeter guy. I remember last training camp every single day tweeting something along the lines of, hey, there's Rod Streeter making another fantastic catch. Like every day it was happening. He has speed. He has experience in this league. He's also had some injuries, though, and you don't know. And last year that toe injury came back at him in one of the preseason games. Look, I think he factors in. And the thing is, what you have to think about is the Bills like him, right? Because they kept him around. He was going to make the team, I'm pretty sure. They had to put him on reserve. They did an injury settlement with him because he wasn't going to miss the whole year, and I'm sure he wanted to play. And then his injury settlement time passes, and they were going to, from what I understand, they were going to re-sign him until they traded for Kelvin Benjamin. That was right around that time where they were allowed to. They were going to go down that path, but then they traded for Benjamin, so they didn't need to re-sign Streeter. But then what'd they do? As soon as the season was over, they signed him again to a reserve futures contract. So to me, that means they like him enough. They continued to want him back in some way, shape, or form. That means to me, I think that he has a more legitimate shot to make this roster maybe than other guys because of the way the coaching staff already feels about him. But again, I'll go back to guys. If you're playing the Miami Dolphins, are they worried about Rod Streeter on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at practice?
Yeah, probably not.
No.
Sal, I'm going to stop the timer because I can't believe we made it this long without talking about quarterback. Josh Allen was going to get a shot with the veterans, and we saw what we saw in rookie minicamp, and it was certainly an unbelievable scene, an inspiring scene to see him along with Jim Kelly. I believe it was Fairburn who we had on with us last week who said it would be a disappointment if the Bills went into their first preseason game and Josh Allen wasn't the second-string quarterback that hadn't beat out Nathan Peterman early in camp. You draft a guy number 7 overall. Is that a fair expectation for Josh Allen early in the preseason?
Look, I think it's fair to think about in terms of if he hasn't earned that spot. Yes. I don't think it's fair for simply looking at the depth chart because there are a lot of reasons why that could happen. And what I mean is he might earn it. He might be the second best quarterback, you know, at that point. But the Bills may feel they're not going to hand that over to him so quickly. This regime does that. They may feel, look, we're not going to let him know. We're going to say you've arrived. We're going to put you in the second spot. Going into that first preseason game, you're still buried on the. You need to show us more. You know what I mean, guys? Like you need to work harder, even though you've worked hard. So I think we all need to kind of not jump to any conclusions based on how that first preseason game looks, for example, how the first few weeks of training camp looks. Josh Allen may wind up being the best quarterback through the first 2 weeks. My assumption is, even if that's the case, he's still the number 3 quarterback the third week because they want him to earn everything he gets and not just hand him something. But as training camp goes on, as preseason games go on, if he's still that guy, then you would see him rise up as we go further on in the process.
Sal, there's going to be information that comes out, and I think back to previous years where we get the reports around this time of year where, okay, X quarterback threw 10 of 12, and this quarterback went 3 of 17. I guess my question is, for anybody listening right now that wants to learn about how these quarterbacks are doing, I mean, is there anything we can learn here in OTAs, or do we just have to put our expectations on hold here until we get the training camp?
Look, I mean, I think the number one thing people want to know is how is Josh Allen's accuracy, right? I mean, that's what everybody's going to ask. Is he missing passes or is he hitting wide receivers? And if we say he's missing passes, either the reaction is going to be, well, you see, he can't hit the broadside of a barn, or, well, it's early, and, you know, he's working with a new playbook and new receivers and all the things that you say about that stuff. If he is hitting passes, the reactions are going to be either A, C, I knew this kid could do it. Yeah, he's going to be really good. Or B, yeah, well, they're playing vanilla defenses, whatever. So I guess the answer to your question is it's all going to be a perception. of the person who wants to see it because you can see it anyway. For me, I do want to see those things. Those are important to me. But more importantly, I think if we focus on and what people should think about when they watch these things and they watch and they read the reports and they go to Twitter and they go online and read things, I think the biggest thing that for the quarterbacks is how much are they giving them? You know, what are we seeing from them? Are they actually reading the whole field? Are they going through their progressions? Or is it like rookie minicamp, which is Josh Allen said three steps and the ball is out. And he's going to one guy, and he's not throwing the ball very far downfield. And there's not much motion in the offense because they just wanted to get his feet wet. And they want him to take some snaps, feel good, throw to some guys. You know, how much are they putting on these guys' plates? Because the more they put on their plate, I think the more confident they are that they're doing the right things and they can advance in the process.
Sal Capaccio, WGR, Buffalo Bills Radio sideline reporter, joining us here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Sal, really quick, we had a couple of questions yesterday from listeners when Incognito's news broke, the Bills releasing him. Does that do anything to the Bills' salary cap situation? Does their release, if he signs with another team, mean anything to the compensatory draft pick formula? And talking about distractions, one that I think is lingering that we still haven't heard or I don't think we've got a resolution on is Eric Wood. What's the latest on the Eric Wood situation as well?
We still don't know anything on Eric Wood. I think Eric wonders about what the situation is with Eric Wood, to be quite honest with you. As I've told you guys before, I think June 1st is a key date. We'll see. I don't know. But a lot of times, June 1st triggers a lot of different things happening in the league. And we'll see if maybe there's some resolution to Eric Wood's situation. Look, it's a situation where the union got involved. There's money to be paid out. There's guaranteed money. They're trying to work that out, from my understanding, or at least they were. Maybe they have. Maybe there's a date on there. So we'll see where that goes. And I don't know how all that's going to impact the cap until we know all those things that happen. As far as Richie Incognito, you know, what's interesting is going into when last season ended and you looked at this year and the salary cap, Richie was on the books for over $7 million, I believe, for the cap. Then he takes his pay cut. They cut his salary. It was 6.4, I believe. They reduced it to 3.2, I believe. So they immediately got $3 million cap relief, but he was going to cost another $3 million anyway to be on the books. Then this happened, from what I understand, the way it turns out is because he's in the last year of his deal, there's really no future years to be paid out. There is a $1.5 million bonus that has to be counted, and that should be the only dead money, which means that they should get about a little less than $2 million more off the books, but still count about $1.5 million.
So Richie didn't pay back that bonus then. That's not a bad deal at all.
Probably not. I don't know. I mean, he took the pay cut. We'll see, though. A lot of times teams go after it, they recoup it, but that's in the retired situation. If they're just releasing him, I don't know if they can do that because, you know, like any other player, say, well, you paid me, then you released me. So, you know, I don't know if that would be the case in this situation.
Sal, we appreciate your time as always. Really looking forward to training camp. And by the way, can I just, I'm going to wave the white flag. You're Yankees, man. They look like the real deal. Have fun cheering for that team this year.
Yeah, it is fun watching them. Man, how many, you think about that Gleyber Torres trade. You know, they traded Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs when they got him. Chapman wins the World Series. He comes back to the Yankees. And I mean, Torres is just unbelievable. He's great to watch, right? He's so good. And then I think they finally have an ace in Luis Severino. They really do. He is a really... really good player. We're going to Cleveland in a few weeks, going to watch him play, taking my son Max to see the Yankees play over there in Cleveland, so that should be fun.
Sal, Gene is a Mets fan. I think he had to swallow a lot of pride to give you that that note on the Yankees there. I mean, you know, he should be puffing out your chest a little bit here. Four in a row for your Mets, Gino. I mean, come on, the parade is back on.
They were playing a Triple-A team last night.
Wow.
Miami. Wow. Terrible.
We'll have to get you and Howard Simon need to get together for some misery coffee.
Yes, absolutely. Sal, appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, bud.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio, WGR, joining us here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
How about that? So Richie Incognito restructures the deal, converts the base, some of it to bonus, and apparently Bills release him.
Yeah, so you got $1.5 million.
Yeah, and that's going to count against the cap. But, Sal, if you jumped in at the end, why did the Buffalo Bills release Richie Incognito, not hold on to him for an asset? Way too big of a distraction. If Richie starts acting up, why deal with it? That was Sal's take. The players would have to be asked about it. McDermott would be asked about it. Let's just move on. So that was kind of the thought here. At least that's Sal's read on the situation.
And it doesn't really get, you don't really get the impression that Richie Incognito fits the mold of what these guys are trying to build from a culture standpoint. lots of baggage, big distraction. I mean, hell, you got to imagine that Zay Jones, that Zay Jones situation, if that's the worst thing that happens this offseason, they take note of that, and they're going to make sure that something like that doesn't happen with their players ever again. They don't want those kind of distractions anymore, One Bills. Nobody wants those distractions, but you invite those distractions, given on the type of people that you bring in to be a part of your organization. And it feels different. It feels like they're, you know, just based on the players we've heard, the players they've selected, the players they've picked up, and based on your hit rate last year that you were able to get Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer especially, a guy that who turned out as good as he did, the performance of Trey White. I mean, these are guys that have some character. When we talk to Poyer, you know, that's a character guy. That's a guy that's earning it.
The guy that you say, well, that's easy. The Bills picked him up. No, not so easy. He was in Cleveland, and he got hurt in Cleveland. Can I credit Doug Whaley for that pickup? I guess you have to a little bit.
Ugh. NFL appetizers on the way next. I didn't put this in NFL appetizers because it just kind of came down a few minutes ago. The NFL owners meetings are happening in Atlanta, Gene, and maybe we talk about this more during happy hour. One of the anthem ideas that they're discussing.
Oh, no.
They think leaving it up to the home team on whether or not teams come out for the anthem. And if teams do come out for the anthem, the potential that teams could be assessed 15-yard penalties for kneeling. Could that be? I mean, how out of touch are these owners to think that a penalty for kneeling for the anthem? What are we? Worst idea ever to come out of the NFL owners' meetings?
Well, they say in brainstorming there are no dumb ideas. That is the biggest lie in business. There are plenty of dumb ideas, and this was probably an idea that was floated in a brainstorm, never made it to get out. No, we're not going to fine anybody.
That's insane.
Penalize. Yeah, that's.
That report, according to Albert Breer, tweeted that out earlier this hour. NFL appetizers would go around the league. A brand new owner in the NFL finally confirmed. We'll get to that and more next on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24/7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Fella.
The latest news from around the National Football League.
Huddle up.
Let's have a little fun today.
Huddle up.
What the hell's going on out here?
Served up in bite-sized form.
Let's go eat a damn snack.
Danger and Battaglia are serving up NFL appetizers.
We're not posing for football cards now, offense. We're not posing for football cards. Let's play with some speed.
Now in the sports bar.
Come on, be a man's man now. Here we go.
So the NFL made it official today at their owners' meetings in Atlanta. The new owner of the Carolina Panthers is billionaire hedge fund manager David Tepper. This approval was the first item on the meeting's agenda and was never really going to receive any resistance. Forbes projects Tepper's net worth at $11 billion. Purchase the team, and that'll eat up $2.275 billion of that. That number, by the way, is the most money ever spent on a North American sports franchise. Team's former owner, Jerry Richardson, decided to sell the team after a league investigation looking at allegations of workplace misconduct against him. The purchase will be finalized in July.
After taking a visit with the Bills last week, free agent wide receiver Russell Shepard is signing with the New York Giants. Shepard made the announcement in an Instagram post last night. Panthers released Shepard last week after he declined a pay cut. Now, he had signed a three-year, $10 million deal in Carolina. Remember the 2017 offseason last season, but only produced 17 catches, 202 yards, and a touchdown. The move reunites Shepard with the man who offered him that contract in Carolina, current Giants general manager. And our resident meathead.
Meathead.
Dave Gettleman.
Terrell Pryor is signed with the Jets in March, and with his new team's first OTA this offseason, you'd expect him to be active, right? Manish Mehta, the New York Daily News, reports that Pryor is not taking part in practice as he recovers from an ankle injury. Pryor's 2017 season with Washington had also ended because of an ankle injury, and he required surgery to repair it before he hit the market as a free agent. Pryor's coming off a disappointing season in D.C., catching just 20 passes in 9 games after a 77-catch, just over 1,000-yard season in 2016 with the Browns.
Staying with the Jets is quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, who's only played a handful of plays since injuring his knee in August of 2016, backed up Josh McCown in quarterback drills with Sam Darnold in the third string at Jets OTAs. Bridgewater worked in team drills, didn't show any limitations earlier this month. Jets coach Todd Bowles didn't seem sure what sort of participation he would get out of Bridgewater, and it would appear things look good. New York will have themselves a healthy quarterback battle headed into training camp. Very similar, I would say, to probably what the Bills are looking like as they head into training camp as well with OTAs. I mean, you're going to see Josh Allen in third string role like Sam Darnold is right now in New York with two veterans in front of him, one being a guy in Nate Peterman that you should be able to surpass fairly easily at some point in the preseason.
Well, that becomes a story if you see Josh Allen taking the reps with the third string, right? What's wrong with Allen? That's what's wrong with Allen. So he might not deserve it, Danger, but my expectation is by the time July rolls around at Fisher that we'll have Allen with the second string just so you don't get asked those questions.
Yeah, and I like Sal's, I like what Sal said just a few minutes ago when Sal Capaccio joined us here in the sports bar. That this is a regime, these are guys, and being a McDermott and this coaching staff, they're not just going to hand anything over to you. They're going to make you earn it, or at least they're going to make you feel like you have earned it, that you're going to have to work for it. So maybe exercise a little bit of patience in terms of expectation. I don't know that there's anything wrong with Josh Allen if after week one of the preseason he's still sitting at number 3 on the depth chart. I would imagine that his play will dictate that move up, and they'll do it when the time is right.
There's another Jets move today. This happened just a little bit ago. Christian Hackenberg traded to Oakland.
Oh.
2019 conditional 7th round pick.
Yeah, I didn't make any mention of the fact that Christian Hackenberg really wasn't throwing any passes at Jets OTA. So maybe that's a tell.
I mean, like, wait a second. He's not here? Well, he hasn't been here. Oh, went to by the way, does Oakland just like wasting draft picks? What possibly could you see in Christian Hackenberg? What a bust. Second round pick, gone.
EJ Manuel and Christian Hackenberg looks like one hell of a deodorant.
Ooh. Oh, wait a second. Who's the head coach there? Oh, that's right. I know quarterbacks, and I can sit in the film room, and I sat down with Christian Hackenberg, yeah. And I'm John Gruden, and yeah. I can correct this player out of Penn State. Let me tell you something. Good luck with that, Gruden.
Here's a guy. Here's a guy who's tasked with turning his career around. Good luck with that project, Gruden. Happy hour's upon us. We ran a little late there with Sal. Always good to get Sal on with us. If you missed that conversation, we'll have it up and on demand for you shortly here at ESPNRochester.com. On the way next, let's continue that conversation. Some camp battles. What we might be looking forward to here as OTAs begin for the Buffalo Bills. And I got to revisit. We got to bring back that idea out of the NFL owners meetings. Oh, you want to penalize a team if somebody decides to kneel for the national anthem. Great idea. Let's get into that a little bit here, too. Happy hours upon us in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
The grass is cut. The lines are chalked. The first pitch has been thrown. And now it's time to play ball.
Play ball!
Your home for Major League Baseball is ESPN Rochester. Listen to the sports leader all summer to hear MLB's best matchups, including Sunday Night Baseball. America's pastime lives on Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.